Welcome to the News Hour. US President Joe Biden has laid out his strategy for the Middle East at a summit of Gulf leaders and other regional heads of state. Addressing the meeting in Saudi Arabia, Biden said the US would not walk away from the region, and he said his country remains committed to ensuring Iran never gets a nuclear weapon.
Let me state clearly that the United States is going to remain an active, engaged partner in the Middle East. As the world grows more competitive and the challenges we face more complex, it is only becoming clear to me that how closely interwoven America's interests are with the successes of the Middle East. We will not walk away and leave a vacuum to be filled by China, Russia, or Iran. We'll seek to build on this moment with active, principled American leadership.
We call upon Iran as a neighboring country with whom we share religious and cultural ties to cooperate with the countries of the region in order to be part of this vision by adhering to international law, not interfering in the internal affairs of other countries, and cooperating with the International Atomic Energy Agency and fulfilling its obligations in this regard.
Well, joining me now here in the studio is Al Jazeera senior political analyst Marwan Bashar. Marwan, we start with Joe Biden's been saying. Why do you think he felt the need to say that the US was not going to abandon the region?
Because there's been a sense, at least since the US withdrew from Afghanistan, and some of the administration officials have been making clear that they're going to be focusing more on Russia and China rather than on deploying troops to the Middle East. That created a lot of anxiety among many of America's allies, notably those sitting there in the summit. And hence, it was important for the American president to make clear that America is not going anywhere. If anything, America is truly, reprioritizing. But if anything, withdrawing from Afghanistan will free more resources for the Gulf region and the Middle East.
Let's not forget, of course, what Biden has called Saudi Arabia in the past. He's called it a pariah state. Nevertheless, he has gone there at a time in which the US is looking to shore up its supplies of energy.
Absolutely. So I think there is a national interest here. And Biden is not hiding it. He's making it very clear that he's there to serve American national interest, even if it is at the expense of human rights, whether it's human rights of Saudis, Egyptians, Palestinians, or whoever. But be that as it may, America comes first, America is first, and hence he is eager to reassert America's influence in the region, reshape old alliances with the likes of Saudi Arabia, UAE, Egypt, Iraq, and so on and so forth. And make clear that America is reprioritizing, but it's not going anywhere. My fear is, while he is getting some of his mission accomplished, what we're seeing slowly but surely is basically the evolving of a Cold War in the Middle East, with Iran, Russia, and China on the one hand, the United States, Saudi Arabia, Abu Dhabi, Egypt, and Israel on the other hand.
One thing that also has dominated this summit in Jeddah also are to do with the Palestinian situation, without a doubt. It's the elephant in the room. It's what unites all the GCC leaders along with their regional partners. But, of course, you know, shortly after Biden left Israel, there were these rocket attacks from Gaza. What sort of tone do you think Biden's presence in the Middle East has set? What sort of problems has it reignited?
Look, I think during the summit, we've seen the Emir of Qatar probably articulate the best possible position about double standard. And he basically spoke about international law, international norms, and international values. And he said we need to be consistent about the applications of these so-called international values, laws, and norms. And it couldn't be simply applied somewhere but not applied elsewhere. It couldn't be applied in Ukraine but not applied in Palestine. So Palestine really came to life by all speakers on the summit today. But I think the Emir of Qatar put it very clearly when he said, basically to the American president, we can't accept Israel expanding illegal Jewish settlements instead of advancing peace settlement in Palestine. And I think the message to a lot of the presence there were, you know, the Abraham Accords, in the end of the day, they are not used as leverage against Israel in order to pressure it to bring a solution to Palestine. If anything, it is leaving the Palestinians with very little hope that their occupation will be ending anytime soon.
All right. Marwan Bashar, Al Jazeera senior political analyst. Thank you. Well, joining me here from our Doha headquarters is our White House correspondent, Kimberly Halkett. Staying with this story, Kimberly, I mean, obviously an awful lot has been made of this fist pump between Joe Biden and Mohammed bin Salman. But beyond that, do you think the president got what he wanted out of this trip?
Yeah, that's right. A lot has been made about that fist bump, and that is going to be a problem likely for the U.S. president when he returns to the United States, because it was not well received. In fact, the U.S. president ended up having to do a little bit of damage control as a result, saying, in fact, that he confronted the Crown Prince about the allegations, the suggestion even by the CIA that potentially he ordered the killing of the Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi back in 2018. And as a result, there was a lot of condemnation about that fist bump, especially from the Washington Post publisher, given the fact that Jamal Khashoggi wrote for that well-known paper. So moving forward from that was a challenge for the president, but still he has tried to do that, as Marwan is talking about there, reasserting the United States' role in the Middle East, in the region, is the priority for this president. But there's no question that those negative headlines are going to dog the president for some time. In fact, we've even had, in just the last couple of hours, the sort of headlines of the Crown Prince himself kind of taking a swipe at the president. In fact, suggesting that the president really doesn't have the moral high ground, reminding the president of some of the United States' own mistakes, as he calls them, reminding and digging up the sort of past sort of bad headlines for the U.S. with respect to the conflict in Iraq, the U.S. invasion of Iraq, and, of course, the atrocities the U.S. committed at its military prison in Abu Ghraib. And then more recently, of course, the killing of our own journalist, Shireen Abu Akleh, the fact that the U.S. president, at least in public, did not confront the Israeli government over that murder, despite the fact that, or killing rather, despite the fact that the two investigations point to the Israelis for potentially being responsible for her death. So this is uncomfortable for the U.S. president. He now has to go back. He said he came here to get the Saudi government to pump more oil. He hasn't secured that deal, and he hasn't been able to lower the gas prices that Americans would like him to do. So it's going to be difficult for him, the president.
Right, yeah. And Kimberly, on that note, I mean, how might all of this play into domestic politics back home in the States ahead of the midterms in November?
Yeah, that's the big problem for the president, because Americans are pretty unhappy with Joe Biden. And they were unhappy before he made this trip, and he didn't do anything to make it better. So it's hard to imagine that his poll numbers are going to go up, and they were in need of that. You compare him to Donald Trump, another sort of unpopular president, and the approval ratings are about the same, not much better, in fact, in the 30s. And that's the sort of the benchmark of really bottoming out in the United States. And that's not where you want to be when you have congressional elections in November. There's not a whole lot of time to turn things around. Joe Biden needed a win. He didn't get one in terms of the foreign policy stage. And so he goes back to the United States now looking absent when Americans are struggling with high inflation, high fuel costs, high food prices. They're angry at their president, and this president did nothing to improve that.
Kimberly, many thanks. Kimberly Halkett, our White House correspondent here in Doha for us. Thanks.